It's not too late. You still have another week, after all. It's not too late to start praying for a miracle. Now, you know what I mean. There's that one class in which you're not really doing as well as you wanted, and to be able to really get a decent grade in the class, you really have to nail that midterm. But you've allowed yourself to slip so much already this semester that you feel that it's going to take a miracle for you to be able to do that. Or maybe for those of you who are writing or going to be grading those midterms, maybe you're feeling that pressure of that deadline coming up. Now, granted, that's the pessimistic view of your academic abilities. I'm sure, because you're all very studious and conscientious people, that you're going to be coasting through midterms without even the possibility of breaking a mental sweat. So, let's come up with something a little more challenging, a little more life-impacting, if you will. I want you to make a promise to God, as you're sitting here in his house today, that you will promise him never to sin again. I want you to resolve that even before you leave this chapel today, you're never going to have a sinful thought, and after you leave, that you're never going to have a sinful action in your life. Are you with me? Are you ready to make that commitment to God? It's ridiculous even to try to consider making such a promise. It would take a miracle for you to be able to stop sinning altogether. And that's just the point today. It would take a miracle. Today we're considering the third article of the Apostles' Creed and Luther's explanation of it. And that article and the explanation deals with the Holy Spirit, the third person of our triune God. And we're going to see that the Holy Spirit works miracles. In your life, in fact, he has worked two miracles. He made you alive, and he keeps you alive. So if you'll join with me in reading the third article of the Creed and Luther's explanation, it begins on page 32 in the front of the hymnal. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives me all sinners, all my sins, and at the last day he will raise up me and all the dead and will grant me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. When a baby is born, it's a time of joy, isn't it? It's hard not to be joyful when this new precious life has emerged from his mother's womb, and it's looking so cute and cuddly and sweet. Tears of joy may even fall down the faces of the proud parents. What about tears of sadness? Would they seem appropriate when a baby's born? Now, aside from those gut-wrenching times when a baby is born stillborn, or a baby is born with such medical problems, defects, or born so premature that the life expectancy isn't very long, aside from those tragedies, is the occasion of a birth a time of sadness and despair? Is there cause for hopelessness and tears of sadness? Every baby who was ever born, you and I included, has one huge problem. We were born dead, spiritually dead. St. Paul, in speaking of our status before the Holy Spirit began his work in us, writes in Ephesians that you were dead in your trespasses and sins. More tragic than a stillbirth, our spiritual deadness is a cause for despair and sadness. And worse yet, there's absolutely nothing that we could ever do to erase that deadness. But enter the work of the Holy Spirit for miracle number one in your life. As Luther said in his explanation, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. Why? Because we're spiritually dead. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts. I have to be honest, I don't remember that call of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't even a newborn. I was about 16 months old. And yet I don't remember that call. Yes, in your baptism, the Holy Spirit called you by the gospel. He invited you to take part in the blessings that Jesus Christ, your Savior, provides for us. Through the gospel connected with those precious waters, he applied to you forgiveness. He worked a true miracle. He took you, a dead, sinful being, and he created a new living being. He made you alive. He gave you that forgiveness which Jesus won for you on the cross. In short, the Holy Spirit worked faith in you, trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin. Or perhaps the Holy Spirit didn't work this life-giving miracle when you were a baby, but when you were older. But either way, as one of God's precious children, you have life. You have true life, eternal life right now. Or do you? Sure, God the Holy Spirit saved you in your baptism, working that life-giving miracle in you. But what about now? I mean, for me, that was 40-some-odd years ago that the Holy Spirit called me by the gospel, and he worked that miracle in my baptism. Well, enter the Holy Spirit for miracle number two in your life. In the explanation, Luther says that the Holy Spirit sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Now, as much as we may be tempted to, don't think of this miracle of the Holy Spirit as being any less than him actually working faith in you. We know that since the time that the Holy Spirit worked faith in us, that he made us his own, we have worked pretty hard at being rebellious children of our Heavenly Father. God confronts us with incontrovertible evidence of a sin, and what do? We deny it. No, Lord, you can't be thinking of me. I didn't misuse your name. You're thinking of someone else. Or perhaps we look at a friend who has more and better stuff than we do, and we start to get a little jealous and covetous, and we complain to God, why can't I have stuff like that? Why do I always have to get stuck with the junk? Or maybe we think about our freedom or our lack thereof, and we whine to God, God, your rules are just too much. They restrict me way too much. I can't have any fun in my life. So many sins. So much forgiveness. Indeed, every time the Holy Spirit calls us on the carpet for a sin, every time that is that God's law convicts us of a sin and shows us how guilty we are, hopefully we don't stay stubborn and refuse to repent. You see, every time we do repent, the Holy Spirit comes to us in the gospel, in the good news of salvation through Christ, and he takes our sin and wipes it away. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, the psalmist says. Through his means of grace, through the Bible, through the sacraments, God the Holy Spirit restores us in our faith. He picks us up and puts us on our feet and reminds us that we are still his children. He gives us the assurance that he is with us so that we know we don't face temptation alone. Miracle number one, the Holy Spirit made you alive. Miracle number two, the Holy Spirit keeps you alive. And I suppose that we could add miracle number 3. At the last day, he will raise up me and all the dead and will grant me and all believers in Christ eternal life. Through the Holy Spirit, you have not just a pretty incredible life right now. You'll have an even more spectacular life in the world to come. Amen.